This, 5th chapter, text 14. Na
na
kartritvam
kartritvam
na
na
karmani
karmani
lokasya
lokasya
srijati
srijati
prabhu
prabhu
na
na
karma pala
karma pala
sanyogam
sanyogam
svabhavas
svabhavas
tu
tu
pravartate
pravartate
Kartritvam na karmani
Kartritvam na karmani
Lokasya srijati prabhu
Lokasya srijati prabhu
Karma palasam yogam
Karma palasam yogam
Sabhavastu pravartate
Sabhavastu pravartate
Kartritvam na karmani
Kartritvam na karmani
Lokasya srijati prabhu
Lokasya srijati prabhu
Na karma palasam yogam
Na karma palasam yogam
Sabhavastu pravartate
Sabhavastu pravartate
Nakartritvam nakarmani
Lokasya
srijati
prabhu Karma palasam yogam Sambhavastu pravartate Kartritvam nakarmani Lokasya srijati prabhu
Lokasya srijati prabhu
Karma phala samyogam
Karma phala samyogam
Sabhavastu pravartate
Nakartritvam nakarmani
Lokasya
srijati prabhu
Karma
phala samyogam
Never.
Kartritvam.
Proprietorship.
Na.
Karmani.
Nor activities. Lokasya.
Of the people.
Srijati.
Creates.
Prabhu.
The master.
Of the city of the body.
Na.
Nor.
Karma pala.
With the results of activities.
Sanyogam.
Connection.
Sabhava,
the modes of material nature.
But
pravartate,
act.
The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Purport. The living entity, as will be explained in the 7th chapter, is one of the energies or natures of the Supreme Lord, but is distinct from matter, which is another nature called inferior of the Lord. Somehow the superior nature, the living entity, has been in contact with material nature since time immemorial. The temporary body or material dwelling place which he obtains is the cause of varieties of activities and their resultant reactions. Living in such a conditional atmosphere, one suffers the results of the activities of the body by identifying himself in ignorance with the body. It is ignorance acquired from time immemorial that is the cause of bodily suffering and distress. As soon as the living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he is in the city of the body, he appears to be the master of it, but actually he is neither its proprietor nor controller of its actions and reactions. He is simply in the midst of the material ocean, struggling for existence. The waves of the ocean are tossing him, and he has no control over them. His best solution is to get out of the water by transcendental Krishna consciousness. That alone will save him from all turmoil. Now, whatever room is there probably has a door on it. Doors are one of the best inventions of mankind. We should use everything in Krishna's service, especially doors. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shafatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha Kolpatarupyascha Kripa Sindho Vyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nakartritvam Nakarmani Lokasya Srituti Prabhu Nakarma Pala Sangyogam Subhavastu Pravartate. In the previous verse, the Lord has been describing, or has described, the living being as like a person living in a city, in the city of the body. Navadware Pure Dehi. Naiva Kurva Nakarya. Who neither does anything nor causes anything to be done. Now he's further explaining. Nakartritvam Nakarmani Lokasya Srijati Prabhu. Na karma pada sanyogam. Sabhavastu pravartate. The modes of material nature are doing everything. The living being receives a particular body on account of his past activities, pious or impious. One gets a body in one of the 8,400,000 species of life. And then, according to the body, some actions and reactions are there, which are not under his control. The body is born. He has no control over that. Body dies. Can't control that. Body gets old before it dies. no control. How much control do we have? The body gets hungry, then the body gets tired, and the body gets this, the body gets that. How much of that is under our control? And along with the body, some sense gratification is there. Some fruits are there. Something comes along with the body. It's a package deal. We don't only get the body, we get what comes with the body. Suppose we get a dog's body. Then we'll get barking and fighting with other dogs and tail wagging and all of that. It comes with the dog's body. If we become ants, you get the body of an ant, then you work very hard. You go on these long journeys carrying little grains of sugar on your back. You become a butterfly, you go from flower to flower. Become a hippopotamus, then you eat and eat and eat and eat, and lumber around, smashing things under your feet. Automatically. Along with the body, and then if you're a hippopotamus, you get a hippopotamus husband or wife. If you're a mosquito, you get a mosquito husband or wife. You get mosquito food, which the human beings especially provide. You get whatever's meant to come with this body. You get certain kind of food, a certain kind of shelter, a certain kind of family life. It comes with the body. So we see this among the animals, and we know the animals, the birds, the insects, the fish. And we know that it's not by their choice, it's by nature's working that they're getting this arrangement. Then in the human life, we think it's all up to us. In the modern positive thinking line, we think that you can create your own reality. You can be whatever you imagine yourself to be. Right? It's all in your thinking. Think and grow rich. But it doesn't work that way. So many people buy the book Think and Grow Rich, and the author grows rich. It's not that whatever I imagine works. A certain amount of, by nature's arrangement, just like suffering. No one wants to suffer. And a certain amount of suffering comes automatically. No one stands in line for it. But suffering comes. My girlfriend goes off with another guy, or I get some crippling disease, or I'm attacked by some belligerent country with a red, white, and blue flag, or any other flag. Just, I didn't sign up for this. And yet it comes. A typhoon comes and wipes out everything. A tsunami, a hurricane, a drought. It's not under my control. I didn't imagine this reality, but the reality came upon me. And I can't imagine it away. Similarly, happiness also comes. automatically. Someone automatically, his uncle leaves him $1 million. He didn't do anything. Or he's born into a family of millionaires. It's not by his hard work. Or so many things for happiness may come his way. They come anyway, regardless of his effort. Sometimes people put out so much effort and they don't get anything. They work and work and work and they don't get, all they get is the trouble of their work. Or they get what they wanted and lose it. Or they get what they wanted and then there's some, they can't enjoy it. They, one reason or another. How much is under his control? He's thinking. He may think, it's all up to me. Especially in our...
the modern world, it's like that.
We imagine that we can be whatever we want to be. That it's all within our control. And here Krishna says it's not. According to the body, a certain amount of happiness or distress will come. Therefore, there's so many people who go to college, they get a good degree, and they can't get any money, despite all their best efforts. And someone else drops out of school and becomes a millionaire. I was making this point in a class in Lachua, and afterwards I met one devotee who... quite successful in business. Quite successful. The fact is that he was a brahmachari and then he was running a little store in Mayapur and then he came back to America. He got married along the way and he started a clothing business and it became a $1 million business quite quickly. So I asked him, did you go to college? He said, no, much to my father's dismay. I left college and to join the Hare Krishna movement. So didn't finish up his education or anything. But he's Marwadi. So when he starts a business, it has to become a $1 million business. By his karma. He'll start a business, immediately it will be, or very quickly it will be successful. And in the same place, there are some other devotees, they start a business, and they lose all their money. It's not exactly under our control. For one person, money, which I've seen, someone, money races after him. Wherever he goes, money is looking for him. Please take me, please take me, please take me. And someone else, wherever he goes, money sees him and runs the other way. Have you seen that? No matter what he does, it can't succeed. Because money doesn't want to see him. He may plan meticulously, he may have the best idea, he may, whatever it is, money will not come, no matter what. And someone else, he closes his eyes and invests, and it's like, wakes up the next morning and it's a gold tree. Because these things are not coming exactly according to our desires and our efforts. One has to put forth some effort. But according to one's karma, one will put forth a certain amount of effort. He gets a very energetic mind, a very energetic body, he works hard. Someone else gets a kind of tired, dull kind of constitution. And you can tell him again and again, why don't you do something? He'll say, yeah, no, I should, yeah. Because he's acquired that nature from the three material qualities. He's picked up a body according to the three material qualities, and the body is conducted by those qualities. It's not within his power to change everything. He gets a particular nature. According to that particular nature, he's practically forced to act. Therefore, Krishna told Arjuna that in the Amityaisha of the other side, it's say, Prakritim Tvam Niyokshati, in the 18th chapter, that, my dear Arjuna, you're thinking, Hare Krishna, you're thinking, I don't want to fight. I'll leave the battlefield. This is a terrible thing to have to fight. I don't want to do it. I won't do it. But this is all your false ego. Yadahankaram ashritya neyotsya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyokshati. If taking shelter of false ego, you think, niyotsya iti, I won't fight, I refuse to fight, mityaisha vyavasayaste. This decision of yours, this determination of yours, this conviction is all nonsense, it's all illusion. Prakritistvam niyokshati, your nature will engage you. You're a kshatriya. You'll have to fight. Even if you leave the battlefield, you'll fight somewhere else. Because you're a kshatriya. There's a saying that if you take a grinding machine to the heavenly planets, like a spice grinding machine, still what will it do there? It'll grind spices. It'll grind spices. Because that's what it is. It's a grinding machine. So this body is also a machine. Yantra Rudhani Maya. A machine which is conducted by the three modes of material nature. Like you go to these, you know, merry-go-rounds or something, the horses are going up and down, because it's all mechanical. They're tied to the machinery. The sun is tied to the machinery. You can't say, hey, I'm sick of going around in a clockwise way. I want to go counterclockwise today. Every day, same thing. I'm going to just, like, do something else for a change. Yes, yagnaya brahmatisam brittakalacha. It has to travel in its orbit by the divine arrangement. It can't say, no, I'm going to do something else. The dog, any more than the dog can say, barking is so obnoxious, I'm going to give this up. He's a dog, he'll bark. The businessman, you put him in a, you know, you take him to church and he does business. So Arjuna, you're a kshatriya, you're a fighter. If you think that, no, I won't fight, you're an illusion. You're going to fight. The only thing you can, maybe you can leave the battlefield and gain the reputation, the coward of Kurukshetra. But not fighting is not an option. You'll fight someplace else. Because you're a fighter. Ahankara, vimudhatma, kartaham iti manyate. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya. We're all seated in this machinery of material nature. First of all, we're in the machinery of the material nature, this world, this environment. And then we're in a machine called this body, which is also acting according to clockwork. Yeah, why is this child stuck here? This isn't fun, sitting here. fun over there. Anyone else who feels like they want to have fun? Good. So, the machinery is acting, and because we're strapped to the machinery, we're forced to act. We're forced to get old, we're forced to get diseased, we're forced to sleep, we're forced to get up, we're forced to work, we're forced, so many things forced. And we're imagining, it's all up to me. It's all up to me. This is called ahankara vimuddhatma, bewildered by falsely identifying ourselves with the body, imagining that we have independence to do as we like. Kartaham iti manyate. We think that we're independent, and we're not. As Prabhupada says, because we're identifying with ourselves with this body, we're subject to the pains and pleasures of this body. Because it's the body that's going through all of this, that's trouble. Too hot, too cold, too this, too that. I'm not this body. What does it have to do with me? The karma pala sanyoga, the results of this bodily activities have nothing to do with me. Because I'm not this body. But I'm imagining that I'm this body, therefore I'm imagining it has something to do with me. The example given is one time the teacher told the student, I'm going to cut your head off and nail it to the wall for you to see. If you misbehave, I'm going to cut your head off and nail it to the wall for you to see. And the student becomes very afraid. But if he thinks about it, if I can see my head tacked to the wall, I must still have my head. I'm still okay. But it's a kind of illusion, seeing my head cut off in a dream. If I can see it, I must be all right. But I'm imagining these things. Another example given is that we see the moon on the water, and the moon is trembling. It's undulating this way and that way. It's shimmering, breaking up. Actually, the moon is doing none of these things, but because it's reflected on the water, and the water is moving this way and that way, it seems that the moon is also moving that way. So we haven't, the soul is the soul has nothing to do with this material business, actions and interactions. But we're imagining that that this body is the self, and therefore what's happening to the body is happening to me. And it's not true. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, not one time, a million times, but Why do you shave your head? Reporters always have the most profound questions to ask when they meet a saintly person. Why do you shave your head? The Prabhupada explained one time, so that when they hit you on the hair, you won't feel it. You cut off your hair, and then if they hit you on the hair, you don't care, you don't feel it. Now, the person who knows that he's not this body, as soon as he becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he's in the city of the body, he appears to be the master of it, but he's neither proprietor nor controller of its actions and reactions. This is explained at length in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to the activities of Puranjana, King Puranjana. It's a long allegorical story about a king who takes up residence in a wonderful city, and so many things happen. Eventually the city is smashed by enemy soldiers and he's made prisoner and forced to leave. It's a long allegory with many details, but that King Puranjana is the living entity within the body. The Pura, the city, is the body, and the king in the body is the living entity, and he enters the city, this particular body, and it's decorated in so many ways, and there's so many things for his enjoyment. But then there's so many things for his suffering also. And finally, he's kicked out by the soldiers of time. 365 male and female soldiers, the days and nights, attacking the body, like laying siege to the body. Finally, the king has to give up. He can't do anything. He's made captive and dragged out. That's our situation. Therefore, Prabhupada said, he's neither the proprietor nor controller of the actions and reactions of the body. He's simply in the midst of the material ocean, struggling for existence. The waves are tossing him, and he has no control over them. If you've ever been in, ever gone swimming in the ocean and got sucked into one of those undertows, Hare Krishna. Okay, now we have instruments. Sometimes if you go bathing in the ocean, like at Puri, there's a very strong current. One of my students nearly drowned in Puri. Because you're thinking everything's all right, but you get this strong undertow. Like in Hawaii, I guess they have the same thing, right? Get a strong undertow. And you're helpless, right? It just drags you, and if you're lucky, it'll throw you back on the shore, and if you're not so lucky, it'll drag you out to sea. And there's, what can you do? Because for all your strength, for all of your education, for all of your good looks, for all of your wealth, good connections with a nice family, You're just at the mercy of the waves. They pull you this way or that way, and whichever way they're going, that's where you're going. And positive thinking is not going to make a damn bit of difference. This is the actual position of a living entity, although we're all encouraged to think otherwise. No, you can be whatever you want to be. But this is the actual position. Even if by positive thinking you achieve whatever you want to achieve, in one moment material nature can, boom, knock it all out. In one second. I could give so many examples. You get just what I gave the example the other day, that one girl that I went to high school with was being driven to college by her family. Maybe it was first semester or second semester. She's admitted to a nice college. Along the way, the car had a flat, so the father got out to fix it. The girl and her two sisters, I think, got out to fix it. Mother stayed in the car, and a drunk driver came and wiped everybody out. The father, the girl, and her two sisters, just like that. And the mother is sitting in the car. What control did she have? Or what control did any of them have? Even the driver had no control. Another friend of mine from high school, good-looking fellow, popular, bright, and when he was like your age, 20-something, hit by a car and paralyzed for life. What can you do? And some of my other friends became big, big men, and one of them became a news reporter for CNN, traveled all around, and you know, in the president's plane, and visited more countries than I did, and you know, all of this kind of stuff. According to the results of karma, you get this body, you get this. You get that body, you get that. You get another body, you get this. Can't be changed by our material efforts. We're imagining. We can try this, we can try that, and whatever we do, if we're meant to be miserable, whatever we do to stop the misery will bring another misery. Or if we're meant not to suffer, you don't do anything, and misery leaves on its own. These are the workings of material nature. Then what freedom do we have? Tiny freedom. Some freedom is there. What is that freedom? Tiny freedom. This argument is given. Yeah, tiny freedom. Why? Because Krishna, we're part and parcel of Krishna. Mami vamsa jiva loke. Jiva bhuta sanati. And how much freedom does Krishna have? Total, unlimited, complete, absolute freedom. Swaraj. Do whatever he likes. 100%. He's not namam karmani limpanti. There's no karma that affects him. Do whatever he wants. 100% independence. Just like we imagine we have. He actually has it. Then we're part of Krishna, so we also have the qualities of Krishna. Krishna's has knowledge, we have knowledge. Krishna's eternal, we're eternal. Krishna's independent, we also have. Tiny independence. Not unlimited independence, because we're not unlimited. Krishna's vibhu, great. And what are we? We're small, Anu. So according to our tiny size, we have tiny independence. Just like the gold mine, how much gold does it have? A lot. And the gold ring, how much does it have? Tiny bit. How much salt is there in the ocean? And how much salt is there in the drop? So we have tiny independence. Tiny independence. Not no independence. Tiny independence. What can we do with that independence? We can turn toward Krishna or away from Krishna. That's the essence of our independence. Turn toward Krishna, we'll be controlled by Krishna. Turn away from Krishna, we'll be controlled by Maya. We'll be controlled in any case because that's what we are. We're tiny little creatures, tiny little beings who are not independent. Not independent means will be controlled, just like the hand. It's not independent. It's not that the hand can do whatever it wants. But in the healthy body, it's controlled by the mind, by the intelligence. By the unhealthy body, it's controlled by some sort of electric pulses that make it shake and shiver and act uselessly. But it has to be controlled. It's not going to be independent. Now, the living entities, by nature, is not going to be independent. But in his constitutional position, in his healthy position, he'll be voluntarily controlled by Krishna, by love, by loving dealings. Just as Krishna is controlling the Vrajvasis, by loving dealings. They're attracted, Krishna's blowing his flute, the cows are coming, or the gopis are coming, out of love. They're serving Krishna out of love. Or we turn away from Krishna, and then we're controlled by Maya, by illusion. And Maya dangles something in front of us and says, wouldn't you like this? And we say, yeah. And then Maya makes us work for it and then kicks us. Either takes it away or puts it a little bit further ahead, further ahead, further ahead. But that independence we have, to be controlled by Maya or to be controlled by Krishna. Some independence must be there. And Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, in his Vedanta Sutra commentary, gives this reasoning that the Vedic literature is giving direction. Do this, don't do this. Or Krishna is giving direction, surrender to me. So, why would the Vedic literature give these directions if you had no independent will to accept it? Otherwise, the Vedic literature would be addressed to the body. Body do this, body do that. But Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, do this, by... Because Arjuna has, at the end, yateshchasi tatakuru. I've explained to you the whole thing. Do what you want. Make your decision. Do as you like. But if you don't do what I say, then this is what's going to happen. You'll think, I won't fight, and then you'll fight anyway. Because you'll be acting according to false ego. So the best thing will be to surrender to me. Otherwise, Machchitta Sarva Durgani, here's the choice. Machchitta Sarva Durgani Mat Prasada Tushisi. Machchitta, thinking of me, Sarva Durgani, all the difficulties of material existence. All the difficulties of material existence. Mat prasadat tarishasi. By my mercy, you'll transcend them all. You'll jump over them all. Mat prasadat, by my mercy. Sarva Durga means the prison of material existence. By my mercy, you'll jump right out of the prison. Ata chetvam mahankaran nashoshasi. If you act according to false ego, not listening to me, vinankshusi, you'll be engaged by Maya. That's the choice. Krishna's mercy or Maya's mercy? Maya also means mercy. It's a kind of mercy. Yes, you can do what you like. But that mercy of Maya is the mercy of illusion. By Krishna's mercy, you can have illusion also, if that's what you want. You want to be independent? Yes, you can be independent. Like a child wants the moon. Would you like to have the moon? No. There's a child, she saw the moon and she saying to the moon, I want the moon, I want the moon. You can't have the moon. I want the moon. The mother is very intelligent. She gave the child a little mirror and she's showing the child, here's the moon. And now the child has the mirror in his hand, in her hand. She's thinking, I have the moon, I have the moon. And what does she have? She has illusion only, and she's very happy with the moon. So Krishna's telling Arjuna that if you like, you can listen to me and get my mercy and think of me and get free from this prison house, or you can identify yourself falsely with this material body, and you can imagine that you can do whatever you like, and you can refuse to listen, and you can be kicked by Maya. That choice is there. So the intelligent person will think that, why should I not surrender to Krishna? And the fool will think, why should I surrender to anyone? I am independent. I can do it. It's like, Prabhupada gave the example, there's some guy, he's in prison, and the police are slapping him, and he's saying, I don't care what you do, you can do whatever you want. He's like a tough guy. He's getting slapped. Burjan was telling me, there's some film, I didn't see it, but in the film Marlon Brando is there, and he's like sitting in a room, and these guys are, the mean guys are threatening him, they're intimidating him. I don't know whether they wanted him to do something or say something or whatever. And they've got him like stuck in a chair, and one real heavy guy just boom! Gives him a full-on punch in the stomach. And Brando says, my old man used to hit me harder than that. Yeah, you know, so tough guy. But what will that do? I saw a similar, this one I did see. This was real life. I was sitting in New Vrindavan, we were sitting taking prasadam, and all of a sudden this little mouse ran by. Little mouse ran by. And then, next thing, big cat ran by. Then the mouse ran this way, the cat ran that way. And then the mouse ran this way, the cat ran this way. And the mouse ran another way. And then pretty soon he's like, he has nowhere to go. He had his back up against something. So he stood up. He had a threatening face. And the cat swallowed him. So we're thinking we have so much power, so much independence, that we can defy material nature. We're forced to act according to the laws of material nature, or the stringent laws of material nature. And this little independence is there, turned toward Krishna, turned away from Krishna. We turn toward Krishna, then we come under Krishna's control, and we go back to Godhead. We refuse, take shelter of Maya, illusion, and mritu samsara bhartman, stay in this material world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making it easy to surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Chant Hare Krishna, become Krishna conscious, and make life successful. Okay. Some questions?
Maya the opposite of illusion? Is Maya the opposite of Krishna or the absence of?
You can say Maya is the absence of Krishna. What is the absence of Krishna? The absence of Krishna is something that there isn't. Sarvata Parinipadam Tat Sarvatokshi Siro Makam Sarvata Shruti Ma Loke Sarvama Vrittatishtati. Krishna is everywhere. He's everywhere. And if he's everywhere, how can there be some place where there's absence of Krishna? Yes, there can be such a place. What is that? It's the place that doesn't exist. And you can go there. Just as you can go to that place where you can see your head nailed to the wall.
What about Jagat Mithya?
That's Mithya. It's not true. The world is not false because Krishna is not false. Krishna is real, so the world is also real. But it's really not what we think it is. The world's not nothing, it's something. But it's not what we imagine it to be. We imagine that it's something that we can control and enjoy. There was a World's Fair many years ago. The theme was man and his world. We're imagining. We think that it's something other than what it is. It's not that the world's not here, but it's not what we think it is. It's like a dream. A dream's not nothing. It's just not what we think it is. We're not being eaten by a tiger. We're not having our head nailed to the wall. The expression is, all that glitters is not gold. But it's something, otherwise it wouldn't glitter. What is it? Maybe it's a piece of tin foil, maybe it's something, this, that. We're seeing gold. It's not gold, but it's something. Mayavadis give the example of a rope and a snake. That it's really, you're thinking that it's a snake, but really it's only a rope. So that's illusion. There's no snake. But there must be, first of all, there's something, there's a rope, and you're thinking it's a snake. The rope is not nothing, it's something. And a snake is also something, otherwise you couldn't think of it. So it's a categorical error. There is a rope, there is a snake, but you're confused. You're thinking one thing's the other thing. There is a material world, it's here, but we're thinking it's something I can enjoy, I can control. That's not so. We're thinking it's permanent. Also not so. Seems to be very substantial. Not so. I gave the example. Whole night, you know, what's permanent? My family is, you know, I have stability. You say a boy and girl are settled up. It means they have their family, home, good boys, got a good job, she's a good girl, everything is done. And in 1 second, it can all be finished. Just like that. Means it's not stable. Not substantial. But water, compared to water on a lotus leaf, it can roll off at any moment. Is that okay? Something else? Want to add something?
I have a question. Thank you, Marge. In the beginning, you were speaking about the how karma can take sudden turns, and we don't really know what's coming.
Yep.
Sometimes this way of karma is taken. Sometimes we are criticized that it is taken as something that's against progress, but too fatalistic in a way that, well, what does it matter to make a change anyway, because they're all going to...
Correct. We're pessimistic. You're full of optimism that you're going to change the world. But the world is as it was, and it will be the same. You're imagining that you're changing the world. Just as our President Johnson, he announced a war on poverty. And they had a big war on poverty, and they spent millions of dollars, and poverty won. Jesus has said, one devout woman had purchased some expensive ointment and was massaging his feet with this ointment. Someone criticized that this ointment could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. So then Jesus said, no, I'll only be here for a few days. The poor will always be with you. That's true. There were poor people then, there are poor people now. Come back in 5,000 years, there'll be poor people. But we're imagining that we'll wipe out poverty. There was something called the Hunger Project back in the 70s. Some group, made a big publicity campaign. We're going to wipe out hunger in our lifetime. But positive thinking and positive effort. It's stupidity. According to karma, some people will always be hungry. Despite the best efforts of the Hunger Project, hunger is still there in the world. It just moves around. They were having a war here, then the war stops, and they have the war over here. When the war is over here, then people are starving and miserable, then it stops over here, and it goes over there, and people are starving and miserable over there. Hurricane relief work was done over here, and now these people are better, and then the hurricane strikes over there, and now these people are wiped out. And we're so powerful that we're going to wipe out hunger, we're going to progress, blah, blah. There was war, give peace a chance, give peace a chance, give peace a chance. They gave peace a chance, maybe. Even if you give peace a chance, war has an equal opportunity. Maya is an equal opportunity employer. You give peace a chance, war will still be there. When has war not been a part of the scene? But people are, they go on a campaign, no more war, world peace. Dreaming. Or else just making a show. Birth, death, disease, and old age. Change it. Go ahead.
But does that mean, Maharaj, that as spiritualists we don't care?
Yes. We're not impressed by your progress. Oh, now you've built a big hospital, you've built a big this, you've built a big that. Now life is better. What better? Now you can die in a big hospital full of tubes and needles. So? That made your life better?
It gave some hope.
What? Yeah, that's also a mistake. The person's going to die. And now he's surrounded by people who are saying, don't worry. Pariksit Maharaj was told, you're going to die. He got the diagnosis. You're going to die in 7 days. They didn't go searching around the world. Is there someone who could reverse this? Could you reverse it? Could you reverse that? I heard about a special in South America. There's somebody who can, rub your head backwards and I'm going to die. Okay, what do I do? I have 7 days left to live. What should a person do who knows that he's going to die? Put it off. Even suppose you could put it off. Okay, you get 8 days. So the king was intelligent. I'm going to die in 7 days. What should I do? Should I hear about Krishna? Should I become Krishna conscious?
So
that's progress. They're engaged in all this false progress. My grandmother spent her last couple of years maybe in this care facility, I guess you call it, an elder care facility. And, family, came from a family that had enough resources. So they put her in this care facility. I went there once, and it was like a hotel. And the lobby was beautiful. There was a bright, chipper young girl there at the reception. And there was soft music playing, and it was a care facility for people who were still ambulatory. So there were people who were still walking around. So it seems like they have such a nice arrangement. But it was grotesque, actually. There's, everybody's walking around, but they're walking around. Someone's walking distorted this way. Someone's walking distorted that way. They're all walking with machines and walkers. And there's some woman there talking about how her husband's going to come next week. And he's been dead for like 15 years. And, they're all in various states of confusion, aided by whatever medication the staff comes by with at the appropriate times. Are you ready for your pills, Mrs. McNaughton? There you go.
Sounds like hell.
Yeah, actually. But and your daughter's coming today, Mrs. McNaughton. Your daughter is coming today, Mrs. McNaughton. Your daughter. Krishna says one should, intelligent person should always be aware of the unavoidable miseries of birth and death, old age and disease. Prahlad Maharaj says all you can do with the miseries by trying to counteract them is make them worse. We're not optimistic, I'm sorry. World is going to be a better place. It's going to be turned into Disneyland. It's going to be turned into Fun City. It's going to be turned into Sukhalia. It's not.
They call it the American dream. They call it the American dream.
It is the American dream. Dream means it'll be finished. Just like the Roman dream, just like the British dream, just like the Nazi dream, just like all the other dreams of so many empires, they had their dream, the dream was over, that's that. Oh. The Kali and the Shashvata. Maybe she did understand the lecture after all. Even if someone says no, you say it's dukkhalia, you're looking at the glass as half empty, I look at it as half filled, half full, sukhalia, it's a happy world. Okay, ashashvata. Ashashvata means everything will be finished. You find it so happy here, it's all very nice, you like your job, you like your home, you like your family, you like your country, you like your life. Good, we're taking it away. Change it, Mr. Optimist. Tell me what you're going to do to change it. Freeze your body so that when they discover the cure, they can thaw you out.
Well, we take pride in trying hard.
That means you're a fool. The ass is also trying hard. Does it make him a great soul? What's the difference between you and an ass? The ass is working hard and you're working hard. The ass is thinking, one step more and the carrot is mine. One step more and the carrot is mine. What's the difference between you and the ass?
Well, it's noble to give life for a better world.
In your imagination, it's noble to give your life for an illusion.
So
you call it noble, I call it stupid. Anyway, better world means a world where people become Krishna conscious and recognize that this is an illusion and get out. That's a better world. So if you actually want to be noble, that's doable. Not noble to keep people stuck here imagining that they're it's going to get better. Like the concentration camps where they're playing music. And
is that what Prabhupada, when Prabhupada talks about misdirected civilization?
Yeah, that's it. Just dedicated to more and more, just like Bangalore, you know, you go there now and it's like got money coming out of its pores. And so what are they doing? They're going to clubs, they're drinking, they're doing all of this stuff so they can be like Americans, like the people that they work for. And is their life better? They've just become big fools. Before they were small fools, now they're big fools. Their ancestors were more advanced. They're thinking, my ancestors were primitive. They were spending so much time visiting temples and chanting mantras and praying and all of this rot. We're advanced. We're making so much money. We're writing these super ultra great computer programs. But your forefathers were sober. You're intoxicated. Anything else? Want to add something about something?
I was just thinking that this is all driven by this false sense of identity and false ego. Like when you were saying that people want to change the world, but they want to do that because they want to be recognized for that. Their false ego is saying that I'll be the one that will change the world. I'll be the one to bring about an absence of hunger or bring about peace or something like that. And that blinds them to the fact that that can never happen. That the material world is a place of misery, and Dukali and Mishashatam, a temporary place of misery. So that sense of false ego or that endeavor to enjoy separately from Krishna is that blinding principle in the material world. It just blinds us to all this. So how to see, right? Shastra Chakshu, Guru Chakshu, you know, you see through the eyes of the representative of Krishna because he's created everything and he is the sustainer of everything and he is the Supreme Personality of God. So how to clear up that vision, you might say. And that's what we're doing here. Hearing about these, hearing this knowledge of what the material world really is will give us some incentive hopefully, the idea is to give us some incentive to try to remove ourselves from that, to take up the process, take up some process, especially we're advocating the process of Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, which is such an easy thing. Anyone can do that. And at any time, it's free. You don't have to have a certain education. You don't have to be from a certain place. You don't have to be a certain age. You can chant Hare Krishna. That's why Lord Chaitanya is called Mahamahavana. He's the most merciful incarnation, the essence, Parama Karuna. They're the essence of all incarnations, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, because they've given this sublime chant and process for reviving our original consciousness.
So I know this.
Want to take this one?
Huh?
Yes, I have a question.
This one's yours.
No, I in the Bhagavatam, there's a story of I forget the name of the yogi. I think it's father of Parashuram. Jamadagni. Yes. So he was a good person, right? I mean, he was a sattvic and everything, and he did not commit, I guess, as I read, any sin or anything. He was good to the king and everything. But then he was punished because Parashuram went and killed the king, they came and killed him, and how is he responsible? Despite being good all his life, for that particular fatality, what is his fate?
Well, being good is not particularly, doesn't relieve you of the karma for that you accrue during it, just because it's a good activity. Just like we're thinking that, well, if we perform a bad activity, then we have bad karma. That's not good. But just doing something good from a mundane material point of view is just, it's almost just as bad, because it still binds us to the material world. The whole idea is to perform activities which are transcendental. You know, there's three kinds of karma. There's akarma, karma, and vikarma. Akarma is the absence of karma, actually, because karma means, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, those actions pertaining to making up a material body. That's what karma means. Karma is our actions that we perform that gives us a material body. So akarma, you know, you put an A in front of the word and it negates that. So akarma are activities which don't make a material body. They actually create our spiritual body so that we can associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can't just look at activities in sense of good or bad. That's just more of the dualities of the material world. Matra sparshastu kanti asitosna sukadukada, that these dualities, happiness, distress, good and bad, fame, infamy, all these things in the material world, they just arise from sense perception. They have no place for the soul. So we have to look to performing spiritual activity, engaging ourselves in a spiritual way, surrendering to Krishna. And then those activities don't bind us anymore to the material world. They actually free us from the material world, because they put us on the transcendental platform, or the platform of the soul, as Prabhupada said. So Maharaj could probably speak better to that particular pastime that you're speaking, but from what I was getting, that's my reaction.
Is that all right?
Yeah, so convinces me that in this particular case of Jamadagni, he was being spiritual too. I mean, I somehow can't relate his activities to karma, I guess is it right? Akarma. I just wanted to understand his character. How he,
his character?
I mean, what I mean is his position.
He's the avatar of Krishna. That's his actual position. He's quite fierce. His mission is to wipe out the Kshatriyas who'd become degraded. Therefore, he has that.
No.
Jamadagni.
Yeah.
The father.
The father. Yes.
Ah. So his position, he was a Brahmin, but his wife was involved with some Gandharva. So then he, out of anger, he ordered the son to kill her. So then what's the question about? What aspect of that do you...
Yeah, so he acquired that karmic activity. So
yeah, it's like not very good. But that's the nature of the world. That, okay, everything's going nicely, you're doing your family duty and everything. Then your wife gets involved with some Gandharva, then you lose your temper, then which happens, right? Kama krodho vijayate. I think the statistics are that most violence, they want to wipe out violence, but most violence is at the home. The husband shoots the wife shoots the husband. Yeah, and then afterwards, it's like, what have I done? I've shot my wife. Because krodhat bhavati sammohat.
But he brought her back.
Yeah, that was Parshuram. He brought her back.
Okay.
He brought her back. But that's being what it is in the material world. To be good is to be what? Like one man out of a thousand. Nishyanam Sahasrashu. The waves of waves of nature are carrying him. Now you be a good Brahmin. Now you get your wife killed. He's being carried by the waves of nature. Now shoot your wife. Now rob a bank. Now do this. Now do that. Or now become a civic leader. Or now become this, that. And he's thinking, yes, I'm a civic leader. Or yes, I'm a whatever. I'm bank robber. He's just a puppet of material nature. You've seen that picture, the three gunas are controlling the living entities, like so that they're like marionettes. They're just moving as the strings pull them, but they're imagining that they are doing whatever they want. He was also in that position. More kirtan?
Yep.